Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share an exciting opportunity with you. The Breaking Free Workshop will teach you a step-by-step guide to turn your passions into profit. Join us for a transformative experience where you'll learn how to smash through your career plateau with a personalized plan in 5 strategic steps, avoid common mistakes that could be holding you back, and identify critical actions for the next month to accelerate your progress toward your goals. Don't miss this opportunity to take control of your career destiny and create the lifestyle you desire. Your first workshop is free. Register now for the Breaking Free Workshop. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for all the details. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops.
From day one, I started building my business community. So that meant people I wanted to partner with, people that were a few steps ahead of me, peers that I could lean on and trust. Community is the only way you're going to do this without losing your sanity. So start building your community and tribe today.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Smashing the Plateau. Today, we're delighted to have Holly Jean Jackson with us. Holly is a revenue and performance consultant, a speaker, podcast host, and author who has turned her own career challenges into opportunities. She's here to share her journey from being a corporate executive facing layoffs and health challenges to taking the leap into entrepreneurship and defining success on her own terms. In our conversation, we'll dive into the power dynamics of consulting versus employment, the iterative process of finding your niche, and the importance of building a community as an entrepreneur. Holly also unpacks the emotional roller coaster that comes with layoffs and how to navigate the complex transition to building your own business. Whether you're looking to leave the corporate world behind or simply aiming to improve your existing business, Holly's insights are sure to inspire and guide you on your path to greater freedom, balance, and success. Stay tuned as we explore how to stop comparing and start defining what true achievement looks like for you. Now let's get started and learn from Holly Jean Jackson's remarkable experiences. Now let's welcome Holly Jean Jackson. Holly is a revenue and performance consultant, speaker, podcast host, author, and founder of Business Builder Throwdown. Her career spans from technology to communications, as well as organizational change, public relations, and content strategy. Holly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here. It's a good day to be here.
It's a great day, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. So you've had many different aspects to your career. When did you decide that you wanted to be in your own business, and in particular, be in your own business as a revenue and performance consultant?
You know, I think it was after my third layoff. I kind of saw this pattern where I would get laid off and I'd have a really negative health challenge at the same time. And I just recognized that pattern. And I got really tired of not feeling appreciated for my contributions because I was a top performer in corporate companies. And I felt like this was the world, universe, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, saying, hey, wake up. There's something bigger and better for you. So I did take one more job in corporate America, but I started getting some different credentials to experiment with if I wanted to do coaching, if I wanted to do consulting, or a combination of things. And as we converse throughout this chat today, we'll see how windy of a path it really was. But that was the beginnings of starting my own business.
Yeah, it's quite common. Why do you think a top performer gets laid off?
Whew. Well, first of all, I've noticed that the larger companies are, they remove themselves from seeing the humanity, right? Seeing the actual people that are creating these key performance things that actually allow them to hit the numbers for their shareholders. And I also think that we have not properly provided sufficient training to middle managers and even at the director level, how to manage teams and how to create a safe container for innovation and top performance. And so a lot of times these companies will lay off entire teams. And in my case, that third layoff, my entire team was laid off. So you can imagine my mentor, the people closest to me, we were all laid off, and it was heartbreaking. And that was the first layoff that came out of left field. Like, I couldn't see it coming. It was unexpected. And because I was in a technical role at a big company, I won't say the name of it, they also, you know, take your badge and walk you out and say, we're going to get you an Uber to take you home. So it was very dehumanizing. And so I think that they look at people as just numbers, and it's looking at what team can we lay off, but they're not actually looking at the whole picture of the performance and what that team is providing. And that's what's really sad about corporate and larger scale companies, corporate America.
Yeah. As you're describing this, Holly, I'm thinking about an episode that we had a while back with Jamie Jay, who talked about the walk of shame. When you get that notice and you have to carry your things through the office past all your colleagues on your way out the door, when you're being escorted out. And yes, it's very dehumanizing. And then all sorts of emotions come along with it. And then you have to deal with the aftermath when you're no longer working.
Yeah. And I'll be really, really real with you guys. I would like to say I held it together. I did not. I was crying as I walked out. It was just so shocking. And the way they handled it was just so lacking compassion that it really rocked my entire emotional system. And so I was crying. I was very, very clearly upset as I was escorted outside of the building. And I thought at this point, this was the company I was going to work with for life. And I was committed to their vision and mission. And it was heartbreaking. So if you've experienced that and you feel any shame around the walk of shame, you shouldn't let that go. That's shame on them for putting us through that kind of dehumanizing experience and not letting us leave with our, you know, good sentiments intact and handling it in a way that actually shows appreciation for the value we added.
Yeah. So with that in mind, how does it feel differently being a consultant rather than being an employee? Because essentially, you know, for many of us, we're talking about doing work with the same companies that we were working with as employees, but now we're doing it in a different relationship where we're doing it as a consultant. What do you feel is different in that relationship?
First of all, there's a lot of freedom, right? You're not going to be attached to, at least in my experience, I'm not working overtime and not getting paid for it. I'm not putting in, you know, extra hours that aren't part of the statement of work or part of the contract. I have more balance. I also find that the clients that I work with, I'm very selective with the companies I choose to consult with, because I don't want to work with companies that aren't doing good. And I don't want to work with companies that won't appreciate the value I'm adding. But that's also why I work with really small business owners versus the larger scale corporate companies. Then I thought for a long time I would come in and try to do cultural change and change management for these larger companies. But quite frankly, I found that most of the large corporate entities are just so toxic in nature of the culture they've built that I don't really want to experience that. So I find that consulting gives you more freedom, more flexibility, a little more distance, and more balance in your life.
Yeah. Do you find also that the power dynamic is different when you're a consultant?
Totally.
Right? Because you're coming in, it's a B2B sale, right? And you're coming in, you know, if it's B2B, in theory, the power dynamic is parallel, mm-hmm. right? One isn't subservient to the other. And in the employer relationship, I feel like the power dynamic is always imbalanced.
Yeah, when you come in as a consultant, you're looked at more of as a peer and sometimes even as the expert, right? They're hiring you because they can't figure this thing out on their own. So if anything, I feel that I have more power, not that I use that in a manipulative or bad way, but the clients that I choose to work with are so excited for the value I bring to the table that it's a completely different type of relationship. And they value me, they respect me, versus when you're an employee, I think sadly, for some reason, we've created this culture, not every company, but a lot, where there's not a lot of respect. It's, you know, work 9 to 5 versus just hit these KPIs. I don't really care how many hours you're working as long as you get the job done. I'd rather you have more balance and knock it out of the park.
Right. So now as the expert, since you've chosen a path as a consultant, can you talk a little bit about how you figured out like where you could best leverage your expertise? I know you have in your background, you've done a lot of roles as a program manager, which is a really complicated role that requires a lot of diverse skills to be able to be effective. So can you talk a little bit about how you figured out what your niche would be?
Yeah, so it was a windy path. Initially, I was really obsessed with health coaching. And so I got my credential in health coaching. And I was known at work as people thought I was literally hired as a health consultant for these companies because I would just help people put their marathon training program together, their nutrition program. So everybody came to me about their health stuff. So initially I thought that was it. But when I started beta testing and taking on clients, I noticed people weren't really willing to pay for that service, what it was actually valued at, and it wasn't going to be something that would carry my financial needs. So then I decided, okay, I knew that I was here to heal the world. Like that's the calling that I have. And that's very lofty. Well, how do you do that in an intentional way? So then I said, well, why don't I work with holistic business owners so that I can enable them to provide those services to heal more people and have a positive ripple effect in communities? So then I pivoted and I started marketing myself as the holistic business coach, still in coaching space. But then I noticed that really I was truly consulting. Because a lot of these folks didn't have the time, capacity, experience, and expertise to do very specific things that I was really talented at doing. So then I also noticed during COVID that these holistic companies, the sales cycle was becoming long and it was slumping. And I went to a couple conferences and noticed and saw the writing on the wall that I needed to re-niche and kind of expand the niche I was serving. So I went to my mastermind and was asking them, you know, what do you feel based on the years I've been in here that I am super experienced in? What are the superpowers that I have in business? And they said, well, you're really good at helping people find money, so revenue. You're really good at helping people achieve peak performance, and you're really good at strategy. So then I came up with revenue and performance consultant, and layered across all the five areas I help folks in is marketing and strategy. So that was really my superpower ability. And then in terms of re-niching, instead of just serving holistic businesses, I expanded to serve small business owners who are service-based owners, but also authors and speakers, because I had a formula to help those folks who have a business and are speakers or and are authors 10x their impact even faster.
And so with this last pivot, what kind of results have you been able to obtain for your business?
Well, it's easy to sell. It's a very easy conversation to say, hey, let me show you where your profit leaks are and how to plug them. Let me show you how you can reach peak performance to grow the revenue baseline you have. So it's a fun conversation. The sales cycle is faster. It's easier to bring partnerships into that world. And so the business has grown 25 to 50% year over year since I made that pivot, which is significant. That means you're on the right, you know, the right path forward. But when you see the writing on the wall and it's starting to shrink and the sales cycle's getting long, that typically means either you're doing something wrong in your sales process or you need to reevaluate the market and the needs.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the need to pivot several times to find what works best for you?
So this is the thing. One of the biggest challenges that I hear business owners have all the time is this refusal to niche. So I'm not going to give the specific name, but let's say Sally, a client of mine, she comes to me and she's got issues with both lead generation and sales. Well, Sally, you know, we dig into it and essentially she actually doesn't have a lead gen problem. She has lots of calls, but she's not closing them. And the reason is because Sally's trying to serve everyone. And Sally's attracting not qualified leads because she's refusing in her marketing and her descriptions of what she does to say exactly who she serves and who she doesn't serve. And so, of course, she's going to get and waste a lot of time on these calls and conversations because she's trying to serve everyone. And then it makes it even more difficult to sell them because you're not able to have clarity on the superpower you bring to the table, the key differentiator of what makes you unique and stand out from the crowd. So it's so funny. I have people say, oh, this is hyper niche and that's terrible. It's actually not. You want to, believe it or not, attract exactly the right people you love working with and repel, like water and oil, the people you do not vibe with. And the more you do this, I want to tell you, it's pretty magical. It's intentional, but the magic that comes from that intention is that you attract people you enjoy working with and partnering with, and it becomes more autopilot when you're authentically marketing yourself and authentically showing up with exactly who you want to work with and partner with.
Yeah. And in your case, did you tap into things like being a black belt in karate and being playing clarinet, first chair, and other aspects of your own background that one may or may not think are related to what you've done in your career professionally?
Yeah. So I love that. If you guys have never read the book, 10X is easier than 2X, highly recommend it. But what they talk about is instead, and this is another massive pain point I see with entrepreneurs, executives, and type A high achievers, we sit there and compare and despair. Stop doing that. It's completely useless. Instead, look back at how far you have come. So if I'm looking at discipline, which would be related to the black belt in karate, if I go back in time before I achieved that black belt in karate to 10X before that, and I can look at that progress and that success, that's a huge win. So instead of comparing myself to somebody who has a double degree in black belt, like they have, you know, two stripes on their belt, I can instead celebrate the fact that I have 10X my growth in discipline, 10X my growth in health, 10X my growth in team commitment. And these are really essential skills you need in business, especially for those high achievers out there. But what I've noticed is type A's, especially executives in big companies, entrepreneurs, speakers, and authors, all the people I serve, we have this complex of perfectionism and we sit there and compare and despair against others. And I'm here to tell you, if you do that, you'll never be happy. It doesn't matter what mountain you're trying to climb. You need to stop looking for that external validation and find the internal validation and look back at all that you have achieved. And so when I think about the clarinet and performing first chair in Carnegie Hall or that black belt in karate, those are just reminders of you've done this before. You can do it again. Stop feeling like you need to ask permission from somebody else to go after that next thing and stop asking somebody else to define success for you.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah, thank you for sharing some of these elements of your story. What recommendation would you have for somebody who is leaving a long corporate career and trying to take control over their career destiny by being in their own business? What recommendations would you have about how to define success on your own terms, stop comparing yourself, and figure out how you're going to not only make a living and replace your corporate salary, but create something where you have the kind of freedom that you've described, and then work on 10Xing your revenue?
It's a very loaded and big question. So let me see if I can break this down for you. I'll share my story because I think it will resonate with folks. I was a senior executive when I left corporate America. I was essentially offered interim chief CIO role. So I was at the top of the top in technology and working with launching really amazing consumer products as well as employee programs globally. So it's an interesting ladder you climb in corporate America. It's very different than actually putting your own ladder up against a mountain of what you actually would find to be satisfactory and would provide you with happiness. So I had to do a lot of unlearning from corporate America. When I started doing my own marketing for my business, I had to realize that being perfect and putting on that beautiful corporate mask that we're trained so well to do was not going to sell to the people I wanted to attract and work with, and that it was going to require removing that mask, removing that smokescreen veil, and being incredibly vulnerable and who I was. And that meant discovering who am I without this corporate identity job. And so it started for me with, I got credentialed as a yoga instructor. And I did that because I had a severe concussion with that last layoff. And it affected my health so much that I had to figure out better tools for managing anxiety and stress. And I knew that my health came first if I wanted to build anything. So I took that time and invested in my mindset and my health so that then I had more clarity on who the new version of myself was without all of that stress, the spiral thinking, that negativity, all that stuff. So that was kind of a foundational step for me and also why I kind of got into the health space first. Now, tactically, for those of you who are not ready to take the leap, what I did was I actually went out after that last layoff and after recovering from the concussion, I asked, I think, 7 different leaders that I worked with at previous companies. And I said, hey, I'm actually looking for a consulting job that's 20 hours a week, maybe 30 at the most. And full disclosure, I'm starting my own business at the same time. Are there any projects or programs that you could hire me for 1 to 2 years while I do that? I will be completely open and honest with you throughout the entire process if I need to, like, you know, shrink down my hours, et cetera. Well, 3 of the 7 came back to me and said they were interested in having a conversation because I was really good at what I did. And one of them offered me a job and it was a consulting job. So it was a 1099 contract, which if you think about it, that's funding your business. So it's like having a shareholder and a safe kind of takeoff lane with that, you know, airplane you can fly as you build it. And that, what I was really smart about is I told them my hourly rate was the same so that the 20 to 30 hours they gave me would replace what I was making full-time in corporate America. So you can actually do that when you're a consultant because you're paying for everything else. Plus you get to write everything off. So then I also had time to invest 15 to 20 hours a week in building my side business at the time, which eventually became the full thing. So that's just one creative way you can tactically have an exit route that gives you freedom and flexibility and also time to experiment with what you're good at, what you want to beta test, and get the clarity alongside on the personal development of who you are and the legacy you want to build. And it takes time. So don't feel like you need to just quit your job overnight and have all the answers. It took me 4.5 years to get to where I am with the clarity that I have and 6 years to replace my corporate income. So just putting that out there so that hopefully it's encouraging to you. But when you do this, you're going to be so much happier, and you're going to have much more health and a community that's actually the people you want to work with.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story. That's incredible. One other question, Holly, how did you tap into community to support your journey and your success?
Yeah. So the earlier on, you recognize that you need people around you and you need who's to help you see your blind spots. You need who's to help you learn how to get there faster. You're going to be more successful. And if you think you're going to build this on your own, you're losing it. All of the most successful people in the world have mentors, have masterminds, have coaches, have people around them. From day one, I started building my business community. So that meant people I wanted to partner with, people that were a few steps ahead of me, peers that I could lean on and trust when I said, gosh, this new marketing thing came out. I don't know about it. What do you have to say about it? And also to celebrate with, because quite frankly, when you're in this world of entrepreneurship, business ownership, your family doesn't get it unless they're also in that same space. Your husband, your wife, your kids, they don't get it. So you need people around you that get it so that when you have that win, it feels that much more exciting because they understand how hard it was for you to make that happen. And also when you're freaking out and you feel like you're on that ledge, which happens all the time, welcome to the roller coaster of entrepreneurship, they can pull you back and reground you and say, cool, let's brainstorm about this. You're not in this alone. Community is the only way you're going to do this without losing your sanity. So start building your community and tribe today.
Love it. Holly, we've covered a lot of territory, and thanks for sharing some really, really great nuggets in today's episode. If someone wants to go deeper with anything you've shared today, access any resources you might have, or get in touch with you, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, there are a few options. So you can go to hollyjeanjackson.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Holly J. Jackson. And then if you're looking for some inspiration, we have both the book Inspiration Contagion, which is on Audible and Amazon, as well as our podcast, which is called Inspiration Contagion, which is on all of the major players and at inspirationcontagion.com.
Holly, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest has been revenue and performance consultant Holly Jean Jackson. Thank you, Holly, for joining us.
Thank you for letting me share.
Making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership can be done more effectively when you follow a system. In our Breaking Free workshop, you'll learn the 5 steps to smash your plateau, craft a weekly progress plan, and avoid common mistakes. This workshop is for dreamers, risk takers, and those ready to accelerate their business journey. Your first workshop is free. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for details and to secure your spot in the next workshop. Don't miss out on this opportunity for a career transformation. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops. Join us on our next episode of Smashing the Plateau for more wisdom from industry leaders. Until then, keep striving, keep believing, and keep smashing.